Thank you, Sam. It's like any time Sam is chairing, I purposely give him long passages to help with his English proficiency. He likes calling me an immigrant any chance he gets, so I try to help him with his English as well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together in your presence. And Lord, we thank you that you are here with us. So Lord, I ask that you would speak to me and through me, and that you would speak to all of us, to hearts that may be tired and weak, to hearts that may be excited and joyful, wherever we're at, whatever is going on in our lives, we ask that you would speak and remind us that you are in control and that you are the one who is at work in all things. So Lord, we thank you and praise you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For those who were here last week, Emil read from chapter 23, verses 11 to the end of the chapter, verse 35. But I only focused on the one verse, verse 11. So before we jump into chapter 24, let me bring us kind of up to speed on what happened in the rest of what Emil read to us last week. So as Paul was in prison, in jail, some of the Jews were planning to kill Paul. And so Paul's nephew found out and went and told the commander what was going on. And the commander sent Paul off to Caesarea to make sure he was safe, off to Felix to have a fair trial under Felix. So now, as we come to chapter 24, Paul is in Caesarea. He's about to be tried, and we're told that Ananias, the high priest, some elders and their lawyer, Tertullus, came to Caesarea and brought their charges against Paul. Verses 5 and 6 tell us what those charges are. We have found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. He is a ringleader of the Nazarene sect and even tried to desecrate the temple, so we seized him. It's ironic hearing their accusations about Paul. From what Luke has portrayed of Paul in Acts, it would seem like the most commotion Paul stirred up was when he was actually going around persecuting and killing Christians. So if they really cared about Paul stirring up riots, if they really cared about Paul angering people and rising these people up, they should have done something about Paul when he was still Saul, when he was going around persecuting Christians. Not so much now. When given the chance by Felix, Paul rebuts the charges against him, and he says to them in verses 11 to 13, "You can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship. My accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple or stirring up a crowd in the synagogues or anywhere else in the city. And they cannot prove to you the charges they are now making against me." Paul himself says when he came back to Jerusalem, he's not stirring up anyone. There weren't even a crowd around him. Yet when Paul was overseeing the stoning of Stephen, there was a crowd around him at that point. So if these people who want to kill Paul were really concerned about him raising up people to mount a charge against them, they should have done something to Paul when he was still Saul. Paul knows that their accusations are false, that they want him dead, and they're willing to lie and cheat to get what they want. Even though Paul has done nothing wrong, those who are accusing him are willing to lie and cheat and go before Felix, the governor, to get what they want. Verse 17, 18 says, "After an absence of 7 years, Paul saying this, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings. I was ceremonially clean when they found me in the temple courts doing this. There was no crowd with me, nor was I involved in any disturbance." Paul's not there causing an insurrection. He's there to bring gifts for the poor, to worship in the temple. But those that want Paul dead don't care about the truth. They don't care about honoring God or doing God's will. All they care about is getting their way. And they're willing to lie and cheat. Lie to themselves, lie to the Roman governor, and cheat to get what they want. They're willing to make up stories that Paul was raising this insurrection. They're willing to get other people to back them up and lie for them and lie with them to get Paul killed. And maybe Felix was wise, and maybe he saw through their ploy. Or maybe Felix was intrigued by Christians. Or maybe Felix just didn't want to deal with this. He didn't want to deal with the people or have to confront them. We don't know for sure. What we know is that Felix was wise enough to adjourn the case. In verse 22, he says, "Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias the commander comes," he said, "I will decide your case." So Felix basically puts things on hold. There's no real reason for Felix to wait for Lysias to come. Felix was the governor. Felix was above Lysias. Lysias brought Paul to Felix because Lysias didn't want to deal with it. He took a next step up. It was like the people were complaining, "I want to talk to your manager, Lysias." And Lysias said, "Okay, go deal with Felix." And now Felix is saying, "But hold on, I'm going to wait until Lysias comes back, and then I'll deal with you guys then." Felix didn't need to do that. But that's what he said. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, "I will decide your case." But then Felix does something unusual. Verse 23 says, he ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard. But to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Paul's the prisoner. Yet the governor is telling the guards, take care of Paul and let his friends come and take care of him and give Paul some freedom to do whatever he wants. This sounds pretty good for a jail. I haven't been to a jail myself. Hopefully I'm on the good side of the bars and never on the wrong side of the bars. But when I imagine jail, I don't imagine the guards saying, "Yeah, you can wander around, you can do the things you want, don't worry. Yeah, your friends can come in and take care of you, bring you some food and stuff like that." Paul's in jail, but the governor cares enough about Paul to make sure that he's comfortable in jail. It's hard to imagine a Roman governor would be so kind to a Jew, even if the Jew is a Roman citizen. But then in verse 24, we get a better glimpse of what Felix's motive might have been. It says, several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. Felix is listening to Paul as Paul is sharing his faith in Jesus. It seems Felix was interested in the way. We're already told that he's well acquainted with the way. And now here he is listening to Paul talk about his faith in Jesus. But while Felix was interested in what Paul had to say, it seems he didn't like what Paul had to say. Verse 25 says, as Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." It seems Felix is intrigued enough that he wants to learn more about the way. But he didn't exactly like what Paul had to say about the way to him. Probably because Paul's talking about righteousness and self-control and the judgment yet to come. Those three topics were topics that Felix probably didn't want to hear about from Paul. Righteousness. This is a Roman governor. He can do whatever he wants. He's basically picking and choosing who is guilty and who isn't. Righteousness. How righteous is this Roman governor? And so as Paul's talking to him about righteousness, Felix was probably squirming. The judgment yet to come. He probably only thought about his judgment. As Paul's talking about the judgment yet to come, he's probably thinking, uh-oh, what's this judgment yet to come going to mean for me? And self-control. How much self-control does a Roman governor need when everything is at his fingertips? He can eat and drink as he pleases. He can tell the commander to do this, and he does it. I imagine as Paul is talking about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment yet to come, Felix is squirming, thinking, uh-oh, this doesn't sound very good for me. Yet he's still intrigued by Paul. He's intrigued enough by Paul that verse 26 said, at the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. He's intrigued enough by Paul that he keeps getting Paul to come back to talk to him. He may not like everything Paul's saying, but there's something there that intrigues him. Enough to get him to come back. Enough to engage him in conversation. But there's also that ulterior motive of maybe Paul will pay me. Maybe Paul will grease my palm, give me some money, and then I'll let him go. Paul should be smart enough to realize what he's doing. Remember, Paul said himself that he brought gifts for the poor and had gone to the temple to present offerings in verse 17. So maybe Felix thought Paul was rich and had money, or maybe Felix thought that Paul had supporters who had money that were willing to pay to get him out of jail. And Felix was giving Paul that opportunity. He was giving him a way out, an easy way out. Pay the bribe. Pay the governor. Give him the money that Felix wants. Bribe him with some money, and Paul could be free. Free to go on his way. Free to leave prison. Free to run away wherever he wants and get away from the people who are wanting to kill him. That would have been the easy way out. Pay the bribe. Gather some money and pay off Felix, and Paul's free to go. But as we've seen time and time again, Paul doesn't take the easy way out. If he was going to take the easy way out, he wouldn't have come to Jerusalem in the first place. Paul doesn't take the easy way out. He didn't take it in the past, and he doesn't take it this time. Paul never pays that bribe. We're told he stayed in jail for 2 more years talking with Felix. Anytime Felix wanted to talk, Paul would have to go and talk with him. And even after Felix died, Paul's still in jail. He could have paid some money, who knows how much, but he could have paid some money and easily gotten out of jail. Paying the bribe would have been the easy way. Probably not the best way, but it would have been the easy way for Paul. We don't know if Felix ever gave his life over to Jesus. Luke doesn't tell us what happened to Felix other than he died 2 years later. But those 2 years spent that Paul spent in jail weren't wasted years, because Felix kept calling Paul back. Maybe it was because Felix really wanted the money. Maybe it was because Felix wanted to learn from Paul. Either way, for 2 years, Paul kept going back and talking to the Roman governor. I mean, how else do you get an audience with the Roman governor? How else do you get an audience like that if not by staying in prison like Paul did? Good luck trying to talk to the mayor of the city or the premier or the prime minister of Canada. Good luck. We can't get an audience like that if we tried. Yet here is Paul in jail, being called by the governor himself to come and talk to him. If Paul had taken the easy way and fled and paid the bribe and fled, he wouldn't talk to the governor. He'd be off who knows where. Yet because he didn't take the easy way, because he didn't bribe his way out of jail, here's Paul for 2 years having constant conversations with the governor of Rome. How else do you get an audience like that? It would have been easy for him to leave. I don't think anybody would have blamed him. He was falsely accused. The Jewish people were trying to kill him after falsely accusing him. I don't think anyone would have said to Paul, "Oh, Paul, you shouldn't bribe him. That's wrong." I think most of the followers would have said, "Paul, maybe it's best for you to bribe him and get out of there." They were the same ones who were saying, "Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. You'll get arrested. You're going to be bound." Maybe they were thinking, "Maybe, Paul, it's not a bad idea for you to pay." But Paul doesn't take the easy way out. Paul stays in jails and suffers for 2+ years. And because he stays and suffers, because he doesn't take the easy way, not only is Felix exposed to a Jesus follower in Paul, but the guards who are watching Paul are also exposed to Paul and to Paul's righteousness and his self-control. Can you imagine the witness that Paul had on the lives of those guards and even on Felix? They know that Paul's being unfairly persecuted. They know that the charges against him are false. Yet they see this guy, Paul, not complaining about the fact that he's in jail, but most likely worshiping God, praising God in spite of the fact that he's in jail. They probably knew Paul had every right to grumble and complain about his predicament. Held in a Roman jail because the Jewish leaders want him killed. Falsely accused by these people who are supposed to be Jewish leaders, their religious leaders, the chief priests, the elders, the Sanhedrin, people who made up lies to get him captured. Yet through all of this, they probably saw Paul praying and praising God instead of complaining. The easy way might have been nice for Paul to run off and be on his own. But no way, no one says it's the better way. Look at the witness that he would have had on those guards and on Felix for 2 years. I imagine as powerful as Paul's preaching was, it wouldn't compare to them seeing Paul in that jail, in that situation, praising God, praying, worshiping God. And I would imagine that seeing Paul live out his faith like that probably had a greater impact on those guards than anything Paul could have said to them. And Paul was able to bear witness to these Roman guards, to the Roman governor, because he stayed in jail, because he didn't take the easy way. Had he taken the easy way, he probably would, they probably never would have seen him again. He wouldn't have seen them again. But because he didn't take the easy way, he has this audience with people that he probably wouldn't have by any other means. I think we need to learn from Paul. The easy way is not always the best way. A lot of us, we like the easy way. It's easy. It's less painful. It's less difficult. That's why it's easy. But I think when we take the easy way, we miss out on a lot of things. We miss out on the people that God puts in our lives. If Paul had taken the easy way, he would have missed out on witnessing to the guards and to Felix. And when we take the easy way, I think there's often times we miss out on the people that God puts around us. It's easy to avoid people who are different from us. It's easy to avoid people who are annoying and to just hang out and want to hang out with people who are like us, who think like us, who act like us, who look like us, who eat like us. But when we limit ourselves to those who are like us, I think we miss out on the gifts and talents of those that are different. We miss out on the gifts and talents that others have to offer. Some of the best friends I made when I was at Regent were my non-Korean friends. And I remember there would be Caucasian students who would complain, how come the Koreans only hang out together? There's a reason. It's easy. The same complaint could be said back to the Caucasian students. How come the Caucasian students only hang out together? How come you don't hang out with the Koreans? Well, but we're trying. Well, but you don't. But it's easy to hang out with your own. And I found that I did that a lot of times. I hung out with Korean friends because it was easy. Because among second generation Koreans, you can kind of assume a lot of things. And so what I found was with Caucasian friends, we'd have to build the friendship from ground zero. We'd have to build from here, kind of share everything, get to learn a lot about each other, get to know each other, and build the friendship from the ground up. And that was a lot of work. I found that with my Korean friends, the second generation Korean friends, it was a lot easier. Most of our families, our parents went through similar things. And so instead of starting from here, our friendships kind of started from here. We assumed all of this about each other, and we kind of started from here and started building from here. Those friendships were so much easier to start than the friendships with non-Korean friends. But what I realized afterwards, what I figured out was, I actually missed the friendships with the non-Korean friends more when the friendships ended. Either because we moved to different cities or life changed, whatever happened. I missed the friendships with the non-Korean friends more because we had put so much more into building those friendships from the ground up than we had the Korean friendships. Had I taken the easy way and only hung out with Koreans all the time, I would have missed out on those friendships with the non-Korean friends. And I think a lot of times if we take the easy way, we miss out on a lot of things. We miss out on the people that God puts around us in our lives. We miss out on the blessings that they can be to us. we miss out on the blessings that we can be to them. It's not always better to take the easy way. Yes, it's a lot more work taking the not easy way. But I think a lot of times that way is a better way for us. I think the other thing that we miss when we take the easy way is that we tend to miss the opportunities for ourselves to grow. When we take the easy way, when we stay in our comfort zone, we don't stretch ourselves. We don't push ourselves to grow. We don't push ourselves to trust Jesus. It's easy to take the easy way because it's comfortable. But when we take the easy way, we're not stretched. We don't need to rely on God because there's nothing to stretch us and everything is comfortable and easy. I'm sure it wasn't easy for Paul to talk about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come to Felix. I'm sure Paul knew that speaking about those things would probably anger Felix. And considering Felix basically kind of held Paul's life in his hands, I would imagine that Paul didn't want to anger him too much. Again, Paul could have taken the easy way out and just told him, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. But Paul actually sat there and told him the truth of the gospel about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Paul didn't worry about the fear. Paul wasn't worried about fear for himself. He wasn't worried about what Felix would say to him. Paul was willing to take the harder way and speak that truth to Felix, to step out in faith and practice speaking the truth boldly. And as he stepped out in faith and spoke that truth boldly, it gave him an opportunity to see God's faithfulness. Remember in 23:11, it says, the following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. Paul knew he wasn't going to die. Jesus has already told him he's getting to Rome somehow. And by Paul speaking that truth to Felix about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment yet to come, maybe it might have angered Felix. But instead, he saw Felix not kill Paul, but want Paul to keep coming back for 2 years to talk to him. What could have easily led to Paul's death instead led to 2 years of conversations with the Roman governor because Paul didn't take the easy way. When I think about myself and I look back over my life, I'd like to think that I picked the good choice all the time, that I didn't always pick the easy way. But in reality, I know a lot of times I picked the easy way. And when I look back over my life and look at the times when I made the hard choices or picked the harder way versus picking the easy way, when I look at the times I picked the easy way, I still see God's hand at work. But I don't see God doing those amazing things because I'm sitting in comfort. I'm taking the easy way. Everything is taken care of. I don't need God to break in and take care of me because I'm sitting in the easy way and sitting in a comfortable place. But when I look at the times when I made those difficult decisions and took the harder way, those are the times where I see God breaking in. And those are the times where I see and I'm blown away by the things that God did. Because I gave space, because there's space for God to move. I'm not relying on myself. I'm not relying on friends. I'm not relying on family or other people to take care of me. And I'm stepping out in faith and saying, God, I can't do this. I need you. And those are the times when I see God break in and do amazing things in my life. One of those times, I've said this many times here, was coming out to Vancouver. I never thought I would come out to Vancouver. The first time I was like, yeah, Vancouver, great, fun. Lots of Korean girls who are Christian, unlike in Ontario. But after I went back, I'm like, I'm never going back to Vancouver. When I came back the second time, the pastor from the previous church called and asked me to come back, come out to Vancouver. And I actually said to him on the phone, no, I'm not coming back to Vancouver. Thanks, but no thanks. I have no plans to come back to Vancouver ever. But as I prayed about it, I felt like this is where I was supposed to be. And as I came out to Vancouver, reluctantly, my friends say, "You hate this place. You said you're never coming back." I know. As I came back and I see how God has blessed me in the time here, it wasn't an easy choice. It wasn't easy to come back to Vancouver, to leave my family behind after my mom passed away. But I came out, and because I stepped out in faith, I can see so many times where God's hand was at work, not just in the little things, but in the big things around me in my life. And I think as we step out in faith, stop taking the easy way, step out of our comfort zones, we have more opportunities to see God at work in our lives. Now, I'm not saying that the easy way always means leaving home. Sometimes the easy way is going away. Sometimes the hard way is actually staying where we are, in the midst of the conflicts, in the midst of family, friend problems. Sometimes the difficult way is staying where we are. That's up to us to figure out whether the easy way is staying or going, whether the easy way is doing this or doing that. It's not always, easy way is not always staying where we are. Sometimes the harder way is staying where we are. But I think that those are the things that we need to turn to God and pray. Lord, how are you leading? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? And I think if we're too quick to take the easy way, I think we miss out on so much. We miss out on the opportunities that God puts in front of our lives. But we also miss out on the ways that God acts to take care of us. The ways that God works to make sure that we're taken care of. If we stay in our comfort zones, we don't see it a lot of times. So if you're sitting there thinking, "I don't see Jesus at work in my life that often," maybe it's because we've been taking the easy way too much. Maybe it's because we're too comfortable. We rely on ourselves. We rely on money. We rely on parents, friends, kids, whatever. Maybe it's because we've been too comfortable and we've been taking the easy way. Maybe we need to challenge ourselves and step out in faith and stop taking the easy way and step out into the harder way. Because maybe that's where God has great plans for us. Maybe those are the ways that God is pushing us. And instead of living in fear and being afraid of what would come with the harder way, maybe we need to step out in faith that God is the one who comes with us in those harder ways. Maybe we need to trust and obey and step out in faith. Let's pray. Lord, I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy to follow you in the difficult ways. It's not easy to follow you when we know that we're going to be persecuted, when we're going to be ridiculed, when we don't know what's going to happen next. But Lord, I see how Paul followed you, and I see how you took care of Paul every step of the way, and I see the joy that Paul had even when he was in prison. And I can't help but think that we have to stop taking the easy way and we have to trust you. As difficult as that hard way may be sometimes, we see that you come along with us in those ways. And we see how you work in those ways. So Lord, help us to not be afraid. Help us to step out of our comfort zones, to follow you in those difficult ways, to follow you in those difficult decisions, and to trust that you will be with us every step of the way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.